Can I get sound checks from you guys?
I actually woke up Sherry last night because...
Okay, that looks good.
Woke up in the middle of the night. I was like, yeah,
you have
to...
looks good too.
The BBC plays over and over and over again. So I was like, you got to listen to this story they did, which seems to be about how the Danish jazz scene is kind of got a, is like in a pretty lukewarm state of growth right now. There's not much happening. It's like, yeah, there's, you know, there's a, like a lot of older jazz people in the Danish scene have passed on, and there's not really anybody to take over. And there's a new up and comer, but she's not really all that good or interested in jazz.
They don't want it. They don't
want
it.
It was like 5 minutes. I was like, this is not news. There's things happening in the world. I could be on the news better than, like, you could just story on me. It would be more interesting.
The Danes don't want the jazz musicians inbreeding, so they've been killing them and cutting them up in front of school children to feed to the rock musicians.
That would have been more interesting. Mm-hmm. Right. How's our level?
Oh, it's good. Yeah.
Every Thursday, I get excited because the Phoenix hits the stand.
Hello, and welcome to Tell Me About Your Song, the podcast where I talk to musicians and songwriters about a song they've written. Today, I'm talking to Jeff Griffin and Sonny Rolle of the band The Sentimental Favorites. And let's start with a song Sonny wrote, a song called The Phoenix from their album The Unrelenting Sentimental Favorites. So where would you like to start with this song?
We were talking on the way over here. It's ironic to be talking about what goes into our songs because we've tried really hard to make our songs self-evident, both by making the writing obvious and clear, but also by not tackling anything that was more complicated than petty gripes and moments.
I would only write about something like that I would feel like I have some kind of solution for. Like, yeah, so not taking on some kind of big world problem that I just, what do I have to add to the conversation about that that hasn't already been said? Like nothing. But I will.
Or another song, which is, it is evoking a mood that is ambiguous. And it's interesting that different listeners come away with different things. And I'm not sure that that's all that useful. Like, I'd rather actually just really put forth an idea and have everybody in the room know what I was talking about.
Yeah, that's what I think I did, like, all the songs. It's either, like, a wordplay math problem, kind of, like, can I get this song structure? And those are the ones that are, like man-stung. Like, it's just, can I create this story using this structure?
I've an infection in my hand from a sliver that I got while sulking in the rowboat that you told me was a yacht. Well, like the time you said that my blind date would be hot, you know it's not.
And there's other ones that are like, well, like this one, The Phoenix, it's like, this is how I feel about this, and that's all there is to say, and I'm not going to flower it up or build it into something bigger. Like, I'm just, here's the comment that I have about this.
I just want to give some context for people. The Phoenix is the free weekly in town and, you know, has music and possibly to some extent arts coverage.
There's usually an art review, a theater review. There's a political article or two, maybe something about back to school. And then there's the, you know,
the adult pages, ads, which are, yeah. Of course. Yeah.
What I remember this song was Sonny saying in rehearsal, oh, I have, and it felt like you had two or three lines of a song, but you started singing them and they were spectacular. It was obvious to me that there was nothing more that needed to get done.
I'm going to stop you there.
Yeah.
Because I just now remembered how that song came to be.
Thank you.
You started playing in the warehouse studio space and you just started playing this line and then I started singing and I did the first verse of the song and then later wrote the second verse to kind of match it.
Excellent.
I think that might be one of two songs where we actually just made it up.
Yes, and I remember I was just trying to impress you. I knew you liked Nirvana, and I wanted to play something that I imagined was like playing Nirvana. Never having played a Nirvana song and not being all that well acquainted with how their songs work, I was like, it'll be something kind of minory and riffy.
I was impressed. It worked.
So you wrote the first verse, like, just on the spot?
Yeah, I mean, it was something I had been thinking about, probably.
Uh-huh.
Some, you know, one of those things that was irking me at the time about the Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all very honest. And it's still to this day, every Thursday, I get very excited. I mean, I moved out of Providence. So it's like every time I come to town, like I make sure I grab that week's Phoenix and I like run home with it. And you flip through it for a minute and then you're like, well, there's nothing in there for me this week. So maybe next week. I mean, that's an exaggeration. But at the time that I wrote that song, there was less in it. That was before Greg Cook was writing. That was before I think Ian Donis was writing in it. Then there was some, I was like, oh, okay, you know, there's something to read for a minute. But before that, it was...
The dream is that it's a newspaper you open up and you learn something. And it, somewhere along the line, it became a newspaper you open up and you see if they've got all the things that you already know about or have been sort of affirmed by the Phoenix picking up on them. So like the bands that you like, are they writing about them? It's certainly been a long, long time since I picked up the Phoenix and found something that I didn't know that I was excited about.
Every Thursday, I get excited because the Phoenix hits the stands. I pick one up and I take it home, then get disappointed once again.
I remember also the first time people heard the song was a gasp. We're often playing in contexts where the people in the audience are half musicians or connected with the art scene one way or another. And so the idea that we're, the confusion and shock that we're running down the Phoenix and, but then you can also see people figure out that actually it doesn't really matter. The Phoenix is not going to break the sentimental favorites. guys really do have nothing to lose. So I was really glad and proud that you've given voice to this bitterness. Clearly I feel and share.
Speaking as someone who maybe gasped a bit at hearing it the first time, I feel like in Providence, there's really not a lot of venues for recognition that a musical act can get, you know? Like, I mean, there's the Motif Awards and then there's the Phoenix Awards.
As far as angering, one of the only recognition sources, I don't care. You know, I don't think either of us have any delusions of grandeur as far as where we're going with all this. It's just we're writing the songs we want to and what we're thinking about. And so, like, yeah. Somebody's got a problem with that.
I think also that you would have to be pretty thin-skinned to be like, I'm going to run the sentimental favorites out of town because of this damn thing.
Mm. No, it would have been fun to get a rise out of them.
Sure, that would be great.
I did have a campaign. You know, they have the music poll, but you can also write in.
Yeah.
And I was trying to get people to vote for that as the best song.
I wrote it in. Win.
Did you?
Yeah,
sure, I wrote it in. Oh, well.
The city paper I read in B-more would keep me busy for some time.
The City Paper is the free alternative weekly in Baltimore. I mean, Baltimore, granted, is a much larger city than Providence, but the paper is, it's just really thick. There's a lot in there. It's written really well. There's articles for everybody. It's just full of stuff to read. And it continues to be every time I go down to visit.
So it still is good. It's not just nostalgia for your college days.
Right. I mean, I haven't been there in a couple of years, but 10 years after I moved away, it was even getting better. I mean, there's an article called Murder, Inc. It's maybe three or four murders that happened the week before, and it describes them. And it doesn't just say this person was shot here or whatever. It's like gives a little more information and tells what was happening right there at the time. And just to kind of keep, you know, people thinking about it more, so it's not people only looking at it to see if there's anybody in there they know. I don't know. All the articles in the paper are just a better read.
There also are really been a number of really neat indie papers in town that aren't the Phoenix, that truly are independent and alternative. There was the Agenda for a while. There was the Nice Paper. Paper Rodeo had no articles to speak of. It was just a free comic book. And Mother's News Now, which is an amazing stream of consciousness newspaper that has a great deal of information and facts. It just doesn't quite always read like news. It's news in like the New Yorker's news, which when you have something like Mother's News sitting in front of you, the Phoenix really doesn't look all that cutting edge.
But if I got paid, to read the Phoenix. $6 an hour, I'd make a dime.
Watching people do the math, you throw a little math challenge at them. So it's fun to watch that, people doing that in their head to work out the joke. And so we've almost gone all the way past it by the time they figure it out.
Yeah, one of the things I like about it is the way that each verse unfolds. I feel like the audience is trying to figure out where it's going and just never succeeds in either case. The first verse, you know, sort of the key line is get disappointed. And then the second verse, if I got paid to read the Phoenix, you know, and like that's sort of like a trope where people talk about you couldn't pay me to read this or whatever. So you sort of think maybe that's where it's going. And then $6 an hour and you're like, where's that going? And then I'd make a dime. And so the point that's being made is that, you know, it takes...
It's 1 minute. Oh. And that was the whole getting paid and how much was all a means to saying, I'm done with this in a minute.
Right.
So then also work in the rhyme with time. And I like wordplay. And I think in that is setting you up to think that a cliche or stereotype line is coming when something else comes. And even sometimes, not in this song, but there's some songs that I'll set it up for like the line to come that people are expecting is going to rhyme and it doesn't. It's the opposite answer.
Like put your plow down.
That's probably the one I'm thinking of the most. I set off to work one morning and it had already started to snow. Were the city plows running yet? Well, of course, the answer is... Yeah, sure, but they weren't doing a very good job. I mean, it's like they're afraid to let the blade actually touch...
Sonny's and my songs are often quite stream of consciousness, and a good third to a half of them are a cappella even, or accompanied by sort of non-musical elements. And the line between spoken and singing is blurred. And I'd also like to think that musically, often we'll use melodies that mimic the rise and fall of the human voice in a natural way, as opposed to it really being a structured musical melody. The Phoenix has a good, the guitar figure. It's a very nagging, teasing little bit that is almost like a folk melody that four-year-olds know and learn and teach each other in the playground.
I've heard this kind of thing about a lot of our songs, about how it's more spoken than singing. And I don't get that when singing a song or writing it. Like, it always sounds like so like sung and musical in my head.
I think it may just be that they're well-written, Sonny, and that's what people are...
Shucks,
well, and that's what people are noting. It's like, well, you use the melody to sort of strengthen the message of the song, which you kind of would like to think everybody would do, but often they don't. Often songs are more monotone than you would if you were saying them. And we're trying to use melody to go up and down like you would when you're talking because you care about what you're saying. And so I think that's what people are saying. They're saying, well, you guys are actually using melody and rhythm in a smart way. And that may be why it seems like a no-duh to you.
The comments I hear are more like, why aren't you singing? Like, why are you talking? but I really, I'm always surprised by that because it really feels like this is singing. I don't know. It's my voice. Like, it's going to sound like my voice isn't going to change. It's fun to sing. And it comes up a lot in like just daily life. Either myself or my wife, Pam, there would just be some reason just to break into every Thursday.
I totally know what you mean. Yeah. That's what I mean by the sing-songy, like following the patterns of human speech. People find them very catchy and they find themselves singing them against their will. I totally know what you mean. Every Thursday, or I get excited. When someone says, I get excited, I hear the rest of the song. Whatever we're talking about, the song, The Phoenix, will hijack the conversation, and I'll just play it all out in my head instead of listening to the rest of the person's
sentence. You should just burst into song.
Is there anything else we should say about this song?
It's awesome.
It's a great song, and you should go buy it on iTunes now. Because it's available on iTunes.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
Also on our record, the Unrelenting Cinema Favorites. It's also available, I would think, on some very rare holiday records that we put out.
And Bandcamp, you can get it through Bandcamp.
75 or less, you can order a CD.
Yeah, there's lots of ways to get our records. I can't believe you don't have them already.
What's the matter with you? Is that aggressive?
Cranky.
Well, my name's Jacob Haller. My website's music.jwgh.org if you want to hear any of my music. I've created a blog for the Tell Me About Your Song podcast. It's on Tumblr and can be seen at yoursongpodcast.tumblr.com. I post show notes there, and I'll have links to all the sites and things that we've been talking about. So that's it. We're going to go out by listening to The Phoenix, and tune in next week when I'll post the second half of this interview where we talked about Jeff's song, 20 Anymore. So thanks for listening, and talk to you next time.
Thanks, Jake.
Thanks, Jake.
Every Thursday, I get excited because the Phoenix hits the stands. I pick one up and I take it home then. Get disappointed once again. The city paper I read in some time, but if I got paid to read the Phoenix, $6 an hour, I'd make a dime. We
played a show in an apartment years and years ago, and a band opened. It was just one guy with a guitar, my other face, and it was, I think it was 17-year-old John McCauley.
It was, and he was handing out CDRs,
mm-hmm.
And then on Facebook the other day, he was like, okay, I've been a poor archivist of my own work. Does anybody have any of those CDRs? Because I need to put together the like the early days, because now it's, 6 years later.
I have a Deer Tick, like double DVR, not DVR, CDR set.
He doesn't, was what he was saying. So it was, cool. And I'm not even friends with him. He was doing it through Robin, who booked that show. Robin and Nadav lived together in that apartment.
Oh, right. She so lived she, there. That's right.
So when Robin was like, oh, I have those CDs.
She's out in California now, too.
I
think they're both out in California or something.
And then John played our Christmas special, too.
And sat with his mom and had a, what was he eat? A burrito?
Yeah, a burrito.
Yep, right when it was time for him to go on stage.
Next up, Steer Tick. And his burrito came out. So he sat there and ate the burrito.
Showmanship.
Aggravating. I was like, we're never going to book this guy in the same show as us ever.
Yeah, he didn't get paid.
I'm done with Deer Tick.
That guy is going no place.
That guy's going unprofessional.